Doug McLean is our Hockey Central analyst in the NHL and Sportsnet. Doug McLean joins us out of the gate. Doug, seriously, this is the worst case scenario, isn't it? Before we talk about the playoffs, this is kind of the worst case scenario. That had to go through your mind when you saw the Oilers win this.
It was good enough for Gretzky. Is it not good enough for him? Gretzky was there 8 or 10 years.
That's a lifetime ago.
Too much.
That's a lifetime ago.
You know what? The good thing about it is the Oilers management haven't tried to tank. They've actually tried to win. They haven't tried to tank like some other teams.
That's true.
So you got to give them credit for that. But it's pretty. Is it true that the Leafs had the best advantage going into that last pick?
Yeah, Mike Harrington of the Buffalo News, God bless him, had that little item, and they broke down the numbers. And I don't know if people in Buffalo, I don't know what would make them feel worse, knowing that, you know, not getting Connor McDavid, or knowing that basically, knowing how close the Leafs came to getting him before they did. That's awful.
Pretty hilarious. But anyway, look, he'll be fine, and it will change their franchise. There's no doubt about it. It will change them. I tweeted that out. Looks like that Edmonton. I'm excited that Edmonton finally will have a chance to make the playoffs now. People weren't happy. But anyway, we'll see what happens. It's is it any different if he ends up in Buffalo? If he ends up in Arizona? I mean, that's where we thought he was going to end up anyway. So mm-hmm. I just soon have him in Canada, to be quite honest. So. I think it's great he's in Canada.
Before we move on to the playoffs, how do you see those top four picks breaking down? Hey, I guess it comes down to whether or not Arizona takes Dylan Strome, right?
Yeah, that'll be the question. Do they take Strome or do they take Hanifin? They take Hanifin. That sort of gives them that back end with Ekman-Larsson that would look pretty good for the future. They got Hansel down the middle, who's, 28, 29 now. They're pretty thin down the middle. I think the big centerman would be a real nice fit for them. It wouldn't surprise me they would take the centerman.
And if you're the Leafs, does getting Noah Hanifin, does that float your boat? Probably not really, does it?
You'd rather have the centerman, there's no doubt about it. Now the question, do they move, if they don't get Strome, do they move to Marner? That would be, I guess, the million-dollar question, mm-hmm. Versus Hanifin. But Hanifin's a heck of a player, too. I mean, look, he's not close to the top two. I talked to a general manager, and he said, look, number one is the best player he's ever seen in a long time, and we all know that. Number two is a heck of a player in Eichel. Number three is a disaster. That was for his words, and you can imagine that it was a GM that knew he was going to be picking in the top three who said that to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think Strome, and I don't think he was talking about Strome.
Right.
In the top three. But the drop-off is, look, I've been in drafts where the drop-off was Ovechkin, Malkin, and Cam Barker.
Okay. That's a drop-off.
That's a drop-off. At the time of the draft, Chicago, Dale Tallon, was pretty excited to get Cam Barker with the number three overall pick.
In conversation with Doug McLean of Hockey Central.
It hasn't turned out quite that way.
No, it hasn't.
We took Chris Russell in the third round. He was Barker's teammate. He was better.
Yeah, and Chris Russell in the making a case for himself in the playoffs right now. I want to talk about the playoffs. Okay, the Habs taking a 3-0 lead in the Senators, an overtime win. Doug, it was a weird thing because I think we all agree that Craig Anderson should have had that game-winning goal. But at the same time, it's pretty hard to look back at the decision to start him over Andrew Hammond and say it was anything other than the right decision, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought there was 7 questionable goals at that point of the series. Mm-hmm. I really did. I mean, were they terrible goals? No, they weren't terrible goals. But were they playoffs caliber goals that Montreal scored? No, they weren't. They weren't, right from the winner on back. So I don't think they had any choice but to try to change it. And Anderson gave them a heck of a performance for me. I mean, bad penalties, borderline penalties, holding, tripping, pucks over the glass. I mean, when the power plays are 6-2 in a playoff game, 6-1, 6-2, whatever they ended up being, that's a recipe for disaster. And even though Montreal's power play hasn't been hitting in all cylinders, it's momentum changes, it's energy, it's all those things power plays bring you. And it was a road to disaster for sure. So Anderson gave them everything he could give them, in my opinion. Those goals, I mean, that was a very similar goal that was scored on Pecorine last night in Chicago. Short side goal. You know, sometimes they sneak through.
The Senators came out, and both teams are physical, but I think the Senators really took the initiative out of the gate, and yet Montreal seemed to not only take the shots the Senators were giving out, but it almost seemed that in the second period, it seemed to energize them a bit. Like, is this a different Canadiens team than other Canadiens teams we've seen in the playoffs?
I think what they did last year, going deep in the playoffs, it gave them that little bit extra maturity that you need this time of year. And you see it with a guy like Weiss, who gave them a good performance, and Subban is much more in control. I mean, he was running around a little bit last night at times, but he's really in much more. I think they're a much more mature team, and that's what playoff runs do for you, And I think they gain from that. So. And the Senators, look, in fairness to the Sens, they had to, scratch and claw their way into the playoffs. Every game, a monumental game for them in their last 25. They couldn't afford to hardly lose a game, and I just think they've run out of a little bit of juice. Although they played hard last night, and they played well, and they're, back-to-back overtime losses. I mean, those are killers.
What do you make of the Flames and Canucks, the way the last two games of that series have ended with the fights? It reminds me a lot of what you used to see in the Western Conference in particular back in the day. It just seems to me that we use the word resilient way too much in sports, but the Flames I don't think you can beat them.
It's like a junior series.
It is, exactly. That's exactly what it is.
With the way these kids are battling and grinding and driving the Canucks crazy with their, they're not a big team, but they battle and hit and they're physical. And the Canucks last night didn't like it. They didn't like it, and it threw them off their game a little bit. So you've got to give them credit, from Ferland to Bodie to Russell to Goudreau. I mean, mm-hmm. him battling and fighting, and Burrows losing his marbles and going after him. I mean, it's exciting hockey. I mean, I love watching the Flames right now, and I think. We know a lot of us pick Calgary because of what they've been able to accomplish, and how do you go against them? How do you go against them in this series for what they've done? But this doesn't look good right now on the Canucks. They got to find a way to battle back in this one. But their veterans losing their composure last night, it's not good.
A lot of us will be watching the Ducks and Jets tonight, Game 3 from Winnipeg. Anaheim leading 2-0. What does Winnipeg have to do on home ice in this series to kind of get the momentum back, because they've played really well in spurts in the first two games?
Yeah, they really have. And here's the challenges tonight. It'll be the most energized building. I mean, the Islanders building yesterday was energized. How many times have we watched a game in Long Island with 6,000 people there, not a sound in the building. And then you see it yesterday, what John Tavares has done for that franchise. It blows me away what he's been able to accomplish in his short time. No wonder Berkey wanted to get him first overall in that draft. But you know what? I mean, I think the Jets have got to be a little bit careful of the energy in the building, because they're taking still bad penalties. Mm-hmm. I mean, you cannot take the penalties they take with Getzlaff and Perry. I mean, 5 third-period goals by the Ducks in this series, and a lot of them are coming off power plays. I mean, you simply cannot take penalties, and that's been a Jets problem all year. And we see, borderline penalties by them nonstop. So and when you get in a building that's that energized, you want to make that extra hit. You want to get the crowd into it, or even more than they are. You want to excite the crowd, and then you just got to be careful, because they cannot take penalties against Perry and Getzlaff. They'll bury you this time of year.